listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, and when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angel will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Well, that is a tricky text, and so I'm glad that Pastor Jay is preaching tonight, but he is preaching on a video sermon, so I invite you to enjoy this sermon by Pastor Jay.
So what is the kingdom of God like? That's a big question, and it's, like so many things, hard to describe. To take the whole concept of what the kingdom of God is all about and try to boil it down into one little idea, well, it's just a little much, isn't it? I like what Jesus does. When Jesus is talking about the reign of God, Jesus is frequently having to use metaphors. And one of the things I love about Jesus is able to see around him and see how things fit together and say, you know, the reign of God is sort of like that. And so we have these 5 visions of mustard seed and yeast and a field and pearls and fish. It's a lot of things all kind of thrown together. I wonder if these were different images that Jesus used in multiple places, but the writers brought them all together here to make a point, to tell us something about what the reign of God is like. First, Jesus says it's like mustard seed, that even though it's a small little seed, that when you sow it into your field, it grows into a great bush. Now, one thing that we have to be aware of is that mustard, in a lot of places, is almost like a weed. And if you were to place this into your field, it would probably take over your field, and the other things that you had intended to grow there may not grow. Mustard is also a thing that some people would plant in their field because it helped keep some of the insects away from the plants that you wanted them to be at. So what does this tell us about the reign of God? Let's keep looking. The next says it's like yeast, where you put just a little bit of what looks like dust into a whole measure of flour. And what happens? That yeast multiplies. The flour doesn't. It begins to grow and expand, and it makes the flour rise. It's almost like the yeast takes over the bread and and gives it its life and its deliciousness, right? So what does this tell us about the reign of God? Let's keep going. Jesus says it's like a field, and in that field there's a treasure. It doesn't say what the treasure is. We don't understand what the treasure might be, but only that when we see the treasure in that field, we buy the whole field. We take on the whole thing so that we can possess that treasure. We spend what we have in order to have something else. We might even go poor in order to hold on to it. So the reign of God is like a treasure in a field, and we buy the field. What does this tell us about the reign of God? Let's keep going. It says that it's like a merchant of fine pearls finds one pearl of great price and great value, and then loves this pearl so much that the merchant sells everything they have in order to have that single pearl. So if you sell everything you have for that single pearl, well, you're now living a life of poverty, and great, you have a pearl, but what are you going to eat tomorrow? You can't sell the pearl in order to have food. In order to own this thing, it's like you have to sell everything you have and live a life of poverty just so you can continue to hold on to the pearl. What does this tell us about the reign of God? One more. It says it's as if someone throws a net out into the sea and they catch an abundance of fish. And when you use nets to catch fish, it's not like long line fishing where you're looking for a particular kind of thing with a particular kind of bait. It's just catch one and catch all, and you bring it all in. And then the fisher person, the person doing the fishing, takes the fish and figures out what they want to keep and what they want to throw away. And it says the reign of God is like this. It's like a fisher person catching fish, throwing out what is good, throwing out what is bad, and keeping what is good. That's like the reign of God. When I see these all lumped together, the idea is then that we try to figure out what's going to tie all these things together. What is a theme that seems to hold all of these visions of the reign of God? And here's what I think it is. I think that what we're talking about when we talk about the reign of God is that when you recognize that God's vision is being birthed today on earth as it is in heaven, that the reign of God doesn't start when we die. The reign of God isn't just about preparing you for some time in the future, but when the reign of God says right now, right here in this place, it is time. The reign of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. If you were to truly buy into that, here's what I think it means. This takes over your life. Takes over the way you think. Takes over the way you behave. It takes over your decisions. It takes over how you live your day-to-day life in relationships with people. It takes over how you view coworkers. It takes over the way how you view the outsider, the prisoner, the outcast, the poor, the one that we're told to hate. It takes over everything. And we have to surrender to it. It's like mustard planted in my heart. And even though it's just the smallest grain, it takes over the field that is my life. It's like yeast. That even though it's like dust, when it becomes into my life, it bubbles up with life and it comes out of me, and I have to do the things that the reign of God, the flower no longer gets to pick. It's simply at the behest of the yeast, and it takes over my life. It's like that pearl. In order to possess that pearl, I have to take on a life of poverty. I have to take on a whole other thing because the value of it is too great to surrender. It's like a field. It's like fish dividing itself out in my life, getting rid of the old things, putting away the stuff that used to be the way that I thought so that I could hang on to what is the good thing, that inside me, it creates the vision between what can be and what is and what we need to turn our backs on. The reign of God takes over. It takes over our life. I think too often we want to have our life and then just sort of invite Jesus into it. That we want to say, Jesus, I want to keep doing things exactly the way that I can so that I can just do what I want to do. And we make Jesus almost into what Creasy Dean from Princeton says, moralistic therapeutic deism, where it's about God tells you how to be a nice person to make you feel better and that we ascribe this to God. I think God's vision is bigger than that. I don't think God just wants to affirm you for where you are. I think God actually loves you too much to let you stay the same. Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can see what is good and holy and acceptable." That you are called to change the way you think. That if what we say is true, if Jesus is real, and if Jesus points us to the true vision of what God is calling us to be, we cannot stay the same. It means everything has changed. It means we have to live differently, and we don't get a choice. It takes over our lives. We're talking these days about planting hope, and we've been talking about where we see hope planted. What if hope was like a mustard seed? Planted inside your heart, planted in a space in you, that hope wants to take over your life, that the hope of the resurrection wants to take over your life, that the hope that the world can be different can take over your life. How is that mustard seed growing? How is that pearl that you're holding, this good news of Jesus, how is this taking over your life and how you think, feel, behave, and the decisions you make? How is this taking over your life? Are you simply trying to continue to hold the pearl and go on as if nothing's changed? Well, you can't, because you've sold everything in order to possess that. Somebody asked me, "What do you do?" recently. They asked what my job was. And I know that they were asking, like, my job, my vocation is to be a pastor. And then you think about a pastor as and to what you do. Well, I lead people, I guide people, I teach, I organize, I help people come together. But I answered differently. I said that my goal of life is to see people change, to see people different tomorrow, for what they've learned about today. If that's not the work that we're all into, I don't know what we're here for. So you need to know. You need to know that as long as I'm your pastor, we're going to be asking one another to continue to transform, to continue to evolve, to continue to grasp what it means that the good news of Jesus is in front of us, and we are called to change and be transformed. I want you to think this week then, and not just this week, but the rest of your life. If the good news of God is real, how does that change how I think and feel and do my life today? And how is that reign of God living within me, calling me to think differently, to act differently, to behave differently, to invest differently in the people around me? And begin to see how that changes you. Friends, in just a little bit, we're going to be inviting you to come forward for just a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. Things that started as seeds, but through their work have made their way to our table so that they can be a sign of the reign of God, not just there to make you feel better, but to call you into a life transformed. May you see the reign of God in this meal. And then may you live the transforming reign of God in your life. If you'll pray with me. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, on paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out in good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. In the name of love, whose name is Jesus. Amen.